This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Good evening and welcome to episode number 55 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com from Denver, Colorado. I am John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's go to Einsteinsville, Louisiana, where we have our one and only Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Hey guys.
Where will she be this week?
Yeah, I'm just slowly all over the country. People are actually not gonna have any idea where I really am.
It's that esports streamer life.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm excited to be here. I've kind of been sick this week and I feel like I'm finally shaking it off. So I think it's the perfect day that it happens to be the Thursday that we do the podcast. So hopefully I'm over the worst of it. And then I can get back to streaming and, you know, get my Smurf account to Masters finally. It's like 50 points away. So nice. Cross your fingers for me. Hopefully this is, you know, the worst of it and I can get past. But I'm excited for the podcast and I'm glad to be here.
Nice. Glad to have you here, Rosh. Let's go over to Camarillo, California, to our one and only Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, everybody. It's always good to be on the Payload. One of the highlights of my week. Talking about Overwatch. I'm super excited for this week. There's some really cool things to talk about. And something I came up with the top of my head we're going to be talking about. So I'm excited to dig into that.
Yep.
That'll be a little bit later in the show. Kudos. But it's awesome. Overwatch is in a good place right now, I think. So
I totally agree.
Where it goes.
Yep. I think, I got to adjust your levels really quick.
I saw you playing a little bit.
It's not you. It's me. Yeah, it's your fault.
Let's blame Kevin.
Yeah, we can blame Kevin, right?
Let's just blame Kevin for all the issues on the show from now on.
Exactly. There we go.
All right, I think we're getting there. Sorry, YouTube people. That's going to be a little bit annoying for you for the first... for the first little bit of the show, but from then on, it's going to be fine. So it'll all be okay. Anyways, we've got a lot to talk about this week. So before we do, let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Rosh, you said you're getting close to Masters. Anything else going on?
Well, it's official. My Smurf account is actually higher than my main account because I've spent way too much time on my Smurf account trying to get it to Masters so that I can get the 3,000 points at the end of the season for Golden Weapons that I've let my main account decay 250 points.
Confused clap?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know why. It's... Decaying on Overwatch is the bane of my existence. It happens every season. And I don't know if you guys have Smurfs out there, email us and tell me if you have the same problem that I have. But but I seem to do better on my Smurf than I do on my main. And I seem to have a lot better games. And I don't know if it's mental or... It has to be mental, actually. It has to be mental because maybe I'm just on my Smurf, so I'm more relaxed and I'm not as worried that people are going to get mad if I, you know, make a mistake or something on my support character. And I think I just perform better on my Smurf. And so now that's higher. My main is decayed. It's now Diamond. So I've got to get that back up. And it's just a whole mess. So that's how my week has been. We're going to get Masters on the Smurf, and then we're just going to stop doing ranked on my Smurf and go back to my main because I got to get that back.
There you go.
It's a hard knock life up in Masters.
Life is so hard. I have the same problem in Heroes, so I totally, understand. Like, I'll go on my Smurf on Heroes and just, no problems at all.
But then you get on your main and it's just a whole different game and you're stressed and you're pulling your hair out and you now have gray. I really don't get it. I have no idea why that happens.
I don't either.
Mm.
How about you, John?
I just have one account, like a normal human being. Yeah. You know, I just, you know, when I get too high to not be able to play with my friends, to just get new friends. It's just that it's like, it's the same thing where once you move out of your entry level apartment into your penthouse apartment, you stop being friends with the people that you hung out with.
I figured it out. You know why you do better on your Smurf account? Because you get better frame rate on it. Because you have
less. We will totally.
We gotta get our conspiracy hats.
Look at this. Me seeing the show once again.
Yeah.
Usually a theme every week.
Well, maybe it's because you're just relaxing a little bit more. It's just like, you know, sniping your two tents. You know, yeah, sometimes it can mess with your aim.
I think that is it. I just get too worked up on my main. And since I'm on my Smurf, I'm like, you know, even though I want to get masters on the Smurf so I can get the 3,000 competitive points at the end of the season, you know, if I lose, I lose. It's not, my Smurf is in no way related to my name. So if I lose and people yell at me, I'm just like, I shrug it off. Whereas on my main, if people yell at me, it like bruises my ego. And I like sit here and I'm worried to queue up again and play with them and have them moan and groan that I'm on their team. And I think that's how it completely, I think it's just a mental thing. And that's why I do so much better on my Smurf.
I'm going to make a Smurf and I'm going to be really awful on it. I'm going to call it Fade to Karma _ Okay, it's Rush. And we'll see how that works. That's enough of that. Let's jump into my bleeding somewhere. I feel like I'm bleeding through. I don't know. Everything's being weird here in technology land. Doesn't matter. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
Nothing.
Are you okay?
nothing happened really this week in Overwatch news as far as I have been able to see. Did I miss anything? Did my RSS
it's been quiet updating?
It's really just been kind of quiet.
It's been a quiet week. I don't think they released anything.
Time to sound the alarms and put out a search for Jeff Kaplan. Make sure he's doing okay.
Lizards abandoned Overwatch. Yeah. Down the hatches.
Once they saw Hearthstone take home $400 million last year, they're like, you know, let's just take them all over there for a little bit. And let's go ahead and do that. So no big news or small news this week. So that's at least makes our job a little bit easier this week. But let's go ahead and thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. By Coral, I mean Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like the show and want to support it, you can head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. All right, let's jump into esports.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
Putta on.
Yeah. I've got that whole sounder memorized now. So if you're watching the video, you can watch me lip sync to all of our sounders. It's a pretty good time. This might become a main thing. We heard pretty overwhelmingly positive things about the esports fast break last week. People said they liked it. People who said they don't like esports said that they liked it because at least it was only 3 minutes and it was done as quickly and efficiently as possible so people could move on. So we're going to stick with that fashion. Let's go ahead and jump into this week's esports fast break. Welcome to the Overwatch Esports Fast Break for January 27th through February 2nd, 2017. First, let's head to PAX South in San Antonio, Texas, where the month-and-a-half-long winter premiere came to a climactic close. In the first match of the live finals, it pitted Immortals against Luminosity Gaming. Leading up to the live finals, there was a cloud of uncertainty as Nomi, Immortal's main tank, informed the world that he would be unable to make the live finals due to visa issues. This isn't the first time this has happened to Nomi, as he also missed the Overwatch Open LAN on September 30th. Team coach and former professional player Chance stepped in for Immortals, but the certainty Immortals felt going into the live finals was certainly less. Luminosity, coming off a second-place finish at the Alienware Monthly Melee just last week, went into this series with confidence. However, despite losing their tank, Immortals looked stellar in the semifinals, overtaking Luminosity 3-0 and only giving up 2 points the entire series. On the other side of the bracket, Ghost Gaming, formerly Kangarna, takes on Complexity. Coming into the live finals, Ghost Gaming announced their acquisition of Kangarna and that all 6 players would represent Ghost at the NGE Winter Premier Live Finals. While Michael, iRemix, and Baby Bay plan on continuing on with the team after the tournament, Ajax, Connor J, and Blam plan to part ways to pursue different opportunities. While Ghost took the series 3-0, it was a relatively close one overall. In the grand finals, it was Immortals versus Ghost. Ghost started out strong with a 3-0 victory at Lijiang Tower before losing on Dorado, Watchpoint Gibraltar, and Nepal. Immortals wins the series, the tournament, and $40,000. The final standings, Immortals in first, Ghost Gaming in second, Luminosity Gaming in third, Complexity Gaming in fourth. Hopping over to Apex Season 2, only 2 matches have been played since last week. Runaway looked to take on Flash Lux, while Kongdu Onsia went head-to-head with Afrika Freaks Blue. Runaway crushed Flash Lux 3-0, only giving up the 1 point the entire series. The other series was much more close. Kongdu Onsia takes the series 3-1. While Oasis was a blowout, the other 3 maps remained close throughout the series. Kongdu Onsia takes the series 3-1. Coming up next week for Apex Season 2, we have MVP Infinity versus Meta Athena, and Luxury Watch Blue versus Lunatic High on February 3rd, Kongbok Spirit versus Kongdu Onsia, and Kongdu Panthera versus Runaway on February 7th. Matches start at 2 a.m. Pacific Time at twitch.tv/OGNGlobal. Assembly Winter 2017 takes place this weekend with Ninjas in Pajamas, Skitlight Gaming, Helsinki Reds, and ENCE Esports. Matches begin at 4 a.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/ESL_Overwatch. That's it for this week's Esports Fast Break. There it is. 3 minutes. They're actually staying pretty consistently 3 minutes. It's kind of nice. That seems to be like the sweet spot to where you can cover everything for the week. So, yeah, pretty cool. Are you guys going to stay up till 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. to watch these tournaments live?
Probably not these tournaments because there's not a team that I'm specifically a fan for, but I will definitely catch them on the replay to watch them because they are all good games. It's just, you know, I'm not going to stay up until 4 a.m. to watch the game. I'll just watch a rebroadcast of it.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm really interested to see what happens at Assembly Winter. Those are some pretty big, like high B tier European teams, which we kind of just saw the high B tier NA teams at the Alienware Monthly Melee and to a much lesser extent, the NGE Overwatch Winter Premiere. So I'm excited to take a look. I'm going to check that out. And then lots of Korean games this week at the Apex Season 2. So we'll have to kind of stay tuned to that. Well, let's. I wanted to just touch on a few things in esports with you guys here before we talked about some other things. So as we just discussed, Immortals lost Nomi to visa issues and their coach Chance stepped in to mainly play Reinhardt the entire series. How did you think he did? Do you think he held his own?
I mean, I think for any coach stepping in for a prominent player, yeah, especially tanking as a Reinhardt, because you have to kind of have that experience of whether to play it aggressively, defensively, when to back off, when to take advantage of a situation. And like you mentioned in the 3-minute recap of the week, the only map that they ended up dropping was that first at Lijiang, which was a 3-0. And I think that you could tell that Chance was kind of iffy on that. He made a couple plays where he should have played more defensively, and instead he went aggressive and gave the team a pick. But I think after that, he was able to shake off his nerves and kind of fit into the Reinhardt mold, and then they were able to just dominate the rest of the game.
Yeah. Jimmy, how good is Immortals right now that they can go in essentially a man down, bring in a sub who's not actively a competitive player, and 3-0 and 3-1 the competition?
It's looking really good for Immortals in that respect, but I have to wonder against kind of the upper echelon of NA teams how they would do, and I'd really love to see them compete against NRG and NBS and stuff like that. NRG's not around anymore,
right? Sorry, I left the camera on Rosh for 25 seconds after the thing. There's a lot going on right now in the tripod studios. So.
There you go. But it's more like a question of the teams that they did play, are they of the same caliber as Immortals, or are they kind of a tier below them? But yeah, being able to, I mean, we talked about this with Envious oh my gosh, I can't remember his name, the D.Va player.
Nikki.
At the first Apex. Yeah. At the first Apex, just getting plugged into their team there and just dominating that tournament. So maybe because there's six team members that you have a little bit more flexibility, and that weak link necessarily, or someone who hasn't played necessarily as much with the team, won't bring you down as much in other team games. But yeah, being able to just be flexible like that, and I think him being the coach helps a ton as well, because he's already very familiar.
Yeah, he's
with
at least
players.
Plugged into the org. Yeah,
and that makes it a little easier to plug in than just some other person who's not necessarily had that time.
Yeah,
and trust with the players. You're going to trust your coach.
Yeah,
or the coach is going to trust the players because they've been working together for however long at this point.
Right.
So yeah, until we see them, I think, play against some of the better North American teams, I don't want to say too much about Immortals, but they do look good right now.
Right. I get it. Now, go to gamers.net. They have their rankings thing, and it's not great, but it's the closest to the best thing that we really have. Puts Immortals at number 2 right now in the world. Behind Envious. So it goes Envious, Immortals, Cloud9, and Misfits. I don't think that Immortals has gotten quite...
I don't put them above Cloud9.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's... You really think that they're not above Cloud9, despite the fact that until recently, Cloud9 has sucked at LAN events and major events?
Well, it's also because of the meta. I mean, it's just now with the meta shifting, it just Cloud9 was able to hang on through that previous meta with the tanks that they weren't playing characters that they weren't that great on, but they were still able to hang on and push through and still be an okay tank or an okay team. And now that the meta's shifting, it just Cloud9 gets to return in their full glory, and I think it's going to be insane. So with the new meta and the new Cloud9, especially with Gods, I would not put Immortals above them. I might be biased because Cloud9 is my favorite team.
I think from a results standpoint, I don't think Cloud9 is the third best team either. From results, from a roster, yes, I do. But the reason why I know that Immortals should not be above Cloud9 is just on Liquipedia alone. Immortals was kicked out by Cloud9 in the Overwatch Open. Mm-hmm. They were kicked out of the November monthly melee by Cloud9. They were kicked out of the Carbon Masters in November against Cloud9, and only finally barely eked out the December monthly melee against Cloud9 3-2. So Cloud9 has defeated them 3 times, and it was 0-2, 0-3, 0-3 to their one time where they beat them 3-2. So I get that. At the same time, they do still have some pretty decent standings, lots of second, three first place finishes. They've played well. In fact, their worst tournament achievement was the Overwatch Open, where they were kind of kicked out just about right away. But I don't know. I think that they've got some pretty good chances here. Now, thankfully for Immortals, for those Reinhardt mains, this is I'm going to try to be as diplomatic as possible when I say this. But if there's a place where you can kind of plug in a player, Reinhardt is fairly standard in, players will tell you, about 90% of the gameplay. Meaning that if you know Reinhardt, you could play it 90% correct, fairly straightforward, fairly easily. So it's that other 10%. So you don't lose as much versus if... You lose a Surefour or something like that, or you lose your Shadowburn, right? So, and Chance is still a great player. He was a pro before he took on the coaching role, and he still is playing high. So that's great to see. One last thing. So Apex Season 2, I'm really excited about this one. We've got Luxury Watch Blue and Lunatic High playing tomorrow. They're both 2-0, and between the two of them, so far in Season 2, they've only lost one game in the entire tournament so far. So I want to hear your thoughts and opinions on who you think is going to take it. I believe, is this the one that's tomorrow or tonight?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, it's the one
this
that's
the
tonight.
Game. I forget, there's so many. Yeah.
Well, they're both tonight. The other one is the first series, and then this is the second series. But I... Wow, this is a tough one to call because you're so strong right now. And I guess if you just go based on map wins, you got to go with Lunatic High because they haven't dropped a map yet.
Is that a question or is that a statement?
That's a statement.
That's like Lunatic like guessing the Super Bowl score and saying 31-27 because it's statistically... The most. All right, fair enough. So Lunatic High because they won more.
Well, I'm also going with Lunatic High because this is a difficult decision. I mean, we don't really have a lot of games to go off of and base our judgments off of in this season of Apex so far. But looking at Lunatic's history, they've had a total of 17 matches completed, whereas Luxury Watch Blue has had just 6. So going with the more experienced team that's had more practice playing competitively, I want to say Lunatic High. They've just been together longer. They've done more together. They've had more practice. That, and Jimmy always calls things on this show, and he also said Lunatic High, so that also makes me want to choose them again. So I can't remember the last time Jimmy's been wrong on something he's predicted on the podcast. So if I had to put my money in a basket, it would be with Lunatic High.
Okay. Fair enough. They did just recently defeat Misfits, and that's not an easy team to beat. So I, you know what? I'm gonna take the opposing statement, and I'm gonna say I think that Luxury Watch Blue has a chance to do it. There have been times where we have seen Lunatic High perform very poorly, especially against really good teams. And so I would love to see, I think they're both great teams, but I think that we're going to have Luxury Watch Blue eke it out 3-2. So, all right, that's it for esports this week. That's all I've got. Let's, let's jump into some dev posts. And we've got quite a few to go through here. So first, we've got a lore question. And it was kind of a weird question, but ultimately it was, who is in the payload on Hollywood? Jimmy, who is in the payload on Hollywood?
Well, we could kind of infer that it was a director. Sounded a bit Omnic. I think they did say it was an Omnic character inside the vehicle, but Michael Chu actually came out and wrote a little bit about exactly who it is. And it is Omnic film director, writer, producer extraordinaire Hal Fred Glitchbot, who has apparently written They Came from Beyond the Moon, Six Gun Killer, Junkenstein, etc. And you've seen all those posters all around the Overwatch maps, especially Hollywood, for those specific movies. And he's apparently being targeted by anti-Omnic groups as part of a greater conflict between the humans and Omnics throughout the world, et cetera, et cetera. And that's pretty much it. pretty much all we get. So
there you more.
We got a little teaser.
There you go. You got your lore fix for this week.
There we go. That's wondering. It.
What's been going on there? So that's one, but this is a little bit bigger. Everybody knows that when Liz isn't getting benched on her mercy, she is setting up shop on her Bastion. And we're about to see some changes happening to Bastion, aren't we, Rosh?
We are. So they are adding a few things to him, and we can speculate that it's coming to the PTR maybe in the next week, maybe 2 weeks. Normally when they post a dev post, they're pretty fast to releasing it on the PTR, so we might be able to see these changes soon. They're doing a few things. First, they're adding a type of recon mode, which basically lowers his spread and increases the magazine size to help, and they said to help with general viability in this mode, to kind of help with just the different modes he has compared to just sitting in sentry mode and then just being this big target that's there and easy to hook and super easy to kill, and it takes you forever to get out of it. And it's just all generally mushed into that original sentry mode. And so then with the current sentry mode, they're looking at tweaking it to be focused more into a tank buster or barrier buster mode, while also at the same time not making it feel like you're this big target in the middle of the map. They said that they're testing some stuff, increasing the speed or the spread and removing headshots, but taking less damage while you're transformed into sentry mode. So you can kind of speculate that you'll have some sort of damage resistance while you're in sentry mode. So that'll be interesting. And one of the biggest complaints with Bastion was, you know, you sit down and you turn into sentry mode, and it's so easy to get Roadhog hooked. It's so easy to get bombarded by a Pharah. It's so easy for a Genji or a Tracer to come up and sneak up on you because you're just wide out in the open. So depending on how much damage resistance we see, it could be really good. We'll see if it's too good. I don't know. Sorry, Bastion Beans. One other thing that they're working on is the self-repair. As you know, with Bastion now, you can self-repair, but anytime you move or you get damaged, it interrupts that self-repair. What they're doing is they're looking at it to where self-repair no longer stops when you get damaged or you're moving, and it's more channeled like D.Va's Defense Matrix, where it's a channeled ability, and you can use it for X amount of time. So compared to D.Va's Defense Matrix, just instead of blocking shots, you're repairing yourself and you're healing. So that should make him a little more viable and a little more prone to staying alive and being able to survive through the damage.
Jimmy, what do you think about these changes? Do you think that we're going to see some more Bastion play, or is it still just turrets and Overwatch?
I think we definitely will see some more, just because people are going to want to try out these changes, and not everyone necessarily wants to or gets the chance to play on the PTR. So as soon as these go live, I expect a little bit of a spike in Bastion. Bastion's like one of those heroes I feel like they have to be really careful about how much they push the knob up on him, because he's definitely one of those heroes that can get out of control quickly, I feel like, if they give him too much damage or something that just makes it super easy. Like this self-repair while moving, that's going to be really interesting to be able to have that. I thought that was kind of one of the, I guess, balances to self-repair, but maybe it's just too much of a hindrance at this point. I feel like we'll see a little bit of an increase in people figure out if he's going to be viable or not. We'll just have to wait and see and play ourselves to figure out if he is going to be viable with these changes in them. I'm more interested to see the more details when the PTR does come out. These are a nice overview of what they're looking at.
Right.
So, looking forward to this, though.
Jeff did say, Jeff Goodman, not Jeff Kaplan, did say that they're testing these internally.
G-Jeff, not J-Jeff. Yeah,
the G-Jeff. said that they're testing them internally. Should be on PTR shortly, but stuff also might change. So if all of a sudden we look and two of these things change, relax, basically. Go ahead.
I was just about to say, I don't think that the Bastion will be a huge issue with these changes at higher levels. What I'm worried about is, do you guys remember preseason to season one when the game first released and everybody would cry that Bastion was super overpowered? He was super insane. But then as the game went on, we realized that it was just we hadn't figured out how to play around him. We hadn't figured out how to take him out. Even though these changes are still happening and they might go through with the live PTR and say 100% of them go through, you still have Pharahs, you still have Genjis, you still have Tracers, you still have Roadhogs. You have so many answers to Bastion that, yeah, as long as they're careful with how they tweak his numbers and they don't, you know, full out give him a matrix shield to completely protect him so he can run in and just destroy everybody, I don't think that he'll be an issue. What I am worried about is how the different levels of Overwatch and how it might be apparent that he's definitely stronger in, say, silvers and golds and people that don't necessarily know how to take out a Bastion strategically. That's what I'm worried with the changes, but we'll see. Who knows what numbers they're actually going to come out with Bastion? Who knows how how high the heal will be? So we'll see as the numbers come out, and hopefully it just doesn't become unbalanced in that regard.
Right. And, you know, I've always kind of looked at Bastion and Zarya on, like, opposite sides of the spectrum. Like, Zarya, a bad Zarya at low ranks is like, what are you doing, noob?
Yeah.
And, of course, super necessary at high ranks, very high skill cap. And then Bastion, on the other hand, is very simple to play, very difficult to play around. And, you know, at the higher level, can you dumb down? I don't like the term dumb down, but we're going to use it. Can you dumb down a hero too much to the point to where, like, even at the, we don't see the skill at the high level of play. Now, it's something that I've always loved Bastion for, and it's exactly what Jeff talks about Bastion being in Sentry mode, is just busting those shields.
Yeah.
Busting those barriers, that's super important. And I think that that's a really cool thing that Bastion brings to the table and something that he does well. And the only other character who can deal with those types of shields and stuff in efficient fashion kind of consistently is Sombra with her hack or EMP.
Her hack, yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. We'll have to see what that ends up looking like on the PTR. Feel especially bad for console players because those same changes hit console, it could be trouble. It could be a bit of trouble. Let's go. We also got another post from Jeff Goodman about a D.Va change incoming. This one's kind of small. You may have noticed that when you're playing against a D.Va and you're up against her defense matrix and you just keep pushing forward, eventually, like, once your gun is, like, just about there, it actually starts doing damage even with her matrix up. Mm-hmm. And what they're looking at doing is actually changing that so that the matrix captures the bullet right out of the muzzle rather than a short distance outside. They didn't really cite a reason as to why, as far as I remember. I can open this back up, right?
They didn't. They didn't actually cite. They just said that it was, the way he worded it, the way that he worded it on the post was, instead of giving an exact reason, it was kind of just an oversight for clarification on how they're changing the matrix. It's not a huge change to the matrix. Essentially, think of a Roadhog and he pulls you towards him and your friendly D.Va rushes up to use his matrix in front of him to stop the shotgun that's inevitably going to come after he pulls you to him. What would happen before is, because you were so close to the Roadhog, the D.Va or the matrix wouldn't come into a factor and the shotgun would still blow through the matrix and potentially kill you after he Roadhog hooks you. Now that they've taken care of, I guess, that oversight or that oversight or maybe that slip or maybe that wasn't what they intended to happen. They wanted the Matrix to be able to save that. They changed it to where now if a Roadhog pulls you and your friend Devo comes up and matrixes him in front of you, he can actually save you from dying to the shotgun because the shotgun doesn't blow through the Matrix and kill you. They didn't state the reason on the post. I think that it might have just been an oversight, something that they didn't think about would still happen, because I think really Roadhog is the only factor that really comes into that where you can notice a difference. Other than that, unless you're literally a Reaper standing in front of a Diva Matrix, you're not really going to even know that that was happening. So I think it was just a slight change. There wasn't any particular reason they said they changed it. It was just something small like that.
Right. Yep. Makes all sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Nice little quality of life improvement. Consistency, all that kind of stuff. Because even then, too, for a newer player, that interaction might be confusing, right? Whereas now it should be consistent. We've got one more here that we're going to go take in our special series, Matchpoint Gibraltar.
Arriving at Matchpoint Gibraltar.
Oh. I love these.
Gets me every time.
I love
these.
Gets
me every time.
So,
it's a great one.
Somebody on the forum, super tilted about something, goes in and he says this. He goes, want to stop leavers from leaving Blizzard? Then add a cooldown to online games when they leave. Make it stack if they do it constantly, similar to CSGO for all modes, in all caps. It's just stupid for how many people leave games the moment they get a slight disadvantage. Jeff, the All-Father Kaplan, says, Jimmy.
It does.
It does.
Drop mic.
It does. Now, this person is asking for it in quick play as well. Because they do say all modes, but it fills up. And yeah, so and you do still get repeated lever penalty for quick play.
Yeah, you do.
Anyways, so you know, like there's that, but you can't get banned from quick play. You just get timed out. So yeah. Anyways, yeah, that's it. Any thoughts on? I love Jeff has been very good. I've heard tales of old World of Warcraft, Jeff Kaplan.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little bit. You would never know it now. If you didn't know who Jeff Kaplan was, and I didn't at the time. I knew he was a designer, but I wasn't following forums closely and all that stuff. And he had a bit of a temper, or at least, at the very least, he was, he knew how to slice with his words. And so we don't see that in new game director Jeff Kaplan. We see this really sweet, really sweet Jeffrey with his Overwatch long sleeve tee. Hey, everybody, this is Jeff, one of the developers on the Overwatch team. You know, that guy. So but this is the first time I've seen him bring out a little bit of an edge. Even if it was just two words, it said a lot. So I really enjoyed it. I hope that we get the occasional Jeff, like, dude, especially when the feedback is already in like such a tilted place. It was pretty funny. All right. So let's talk. We wanted to talk about one more thing this week. And this is a question we get a lot. And the question is, how do we stay up to date on so many things going on with Overwatch? There's esports.
Besides just listening to the payload.
Besides listening to podcasts, where can I find it? Where can I find the sources? See it. I feel like I'm days behind, all that stuff. Podcasts are great because you always get that kind of variety news show. Hopefully you feel in the loop. But sometimes we don't touch on every single thing that goes out there, and it's a lot. And even all the podcasts combined, there'll be things that don't happen. So we wanted to share with all of you. And if we miss anything, I hope you'll send us an email or tweet at us other resources that you find valuable as well for just all your Overwatch stuff, how you stay up to date with Overwatch. We're going to break it up pretty simply. So let's just jump right in. So general news. So that stuff like, you know, the Year of the Rooster is coming out or whatever, when a tournament is coming out, I guess it's kind of sometimes. What are you guys using for that, Jimmy? What are some of your main sources for just like general news besides Overwatch.BlizzPro.com?
Yeah, Blizzard social media is pretty good about getting the word out on news pretty quickly. Sometimes they actually they get it out too quickly, where they have a link to a blog post that isn't exactly published yet. So that happens occasionally. But yeah, Twitter.com/playOverwatch and the Overwatch Facebook page is really good. Obviously, the website, playoverwatch.com, is really solid
button
for that.
Yeah,
hit the news button there. And the big one, although it can be a little bit to sift through the memes and jokes and whatever, is Reddit. Reddit.com/r/Overwatch. There's a lot of good stuff too.
There's a lot. A lot of it's general. Most of it's play of the games, like, or Overwatch art, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But something that or I'll just do. It,
this week, it's been like all Lucio wall rides and seeing how cool they can be.
Right.
I feel like.
But every once in a while, you'll find an interesting discussion. We've pulled off entire segments because of discussions that have happened on Reddit. It's a good place to have and check out. Or, you know, for me, if you don't want to sift through this. Sorry, go ahead.
Didn't we discover Skyline through Reddit?
We did. Yeah. Someone's like, hey, you guys should check this out. And we did. And we're like, hey, that's you should come awesome on the show.
Yeah, buddy. Exactly.
and he did. It was fun. I filter top by week. Makes it a little bit easier to sift through the daily crap and into the kind of more prevailing topics for me. Rosh, anything else that you use there besides kind of what we just talked about?
That basically it. Twitter's my main source of everything because I follow a lot of Overwatch people on Twitter. So mainly the Twitter Overwatch. I get some of the information off of Facebook, but other than that, Reddit's a super, super, super good source. Like they said, you just have to dig through all the memes. But sometimes finding all the memes is, you know, funny and it's interesting. And while you're digging through your day, it just kind of helps. So that basically hit all of them. That's what I basically use.
Yep. Cool. Let's talk a little bit about esports then. Esports is by far one of the most frustrating things to follow, I would say, across most titles, because there's so many different tournament organizers and they all communicate it differently and they communicate it to different channels and outlets. There will be so many times where I open up my Twitch app and tap on Overwatch and I all of a sudden see, oh, Envious is playing somebody. Oh, this is a big tournament. Why did I not know about this? Rosh, where do you go to find kind of your esports stuff?
Oh, everywhere. we have quite a few links. Mainly you can go for over.gg is one of the links that you want to go to.
It's my favorite.
There's also, I don't use this as much, but it's also good if, you know, you're still looking for a little information, but winstonslab.com. I actually recently found out about that one. I didn't even know it existed, but that's also another good source of information. But also to kind of get a general overview of any team or what members of the rosters are on there, anything like that, you can go to wiki.teamliquid.net. They generally keep it really updated. So if you're looking at, you know, if they made a roster change or anything like that, or even who used to be on their rosters, I think they keep a history of what teams and what people have been on each team. So it's really cool to go through if you're specifically searching a team and their history and the players who have played there. So wiki.teamliquid.net, that's really, really good for summaries of individual teams. We mentioned Reddit before, but this one's reddit.com/r/competitive Overwatch. You can get great. I was actually browsing it before the podcast, and This guy recently published on his YouTube a match of the winter premiere where he goes through an incredibly in-depth analysis. So it's super good if maybe you're playing Overwatch and you want to know how to compete at a higher level. You can find all sorts of nifty tips and tricks on this thread. It's really cool. It actually surprised me how in-depth it was. So you can find a ton of stuff. You do have to sift through a bunch of other stuff related to competitive Overwatch, but it's really nice. You know, Reddit's super easy. You just scroll through the threads. But it's a huge source on stuff. And that's one of my main sites that I go to because, as you know, Reddit auto-populates with the most, you know, interesting, most commented on, most viewed topics. So anything big kind of immediately goes to the top. So you immediately see that.
Right. Something I want to backtrack on a couple of different ones really quick, because I am the biggest binger of over.gg. in fact, most of the stuff that like I find from the esports fast break is a combination of things that I find from over.gg, Winston's Lab, and the competitive Overwatch subreddit. And over.gg, the cool thing that they have is they have great just competitive based articles. They'll have interviews with winning teams or the news about trades or like when Nomi and his passport or his visa thing happened, figured that out from there. So it's a great combination of like almost in a very slimmed down and very holistic way, like the old ESPN website. You got scores, what's coming up next, and you got big headlines, which I absolutely love. And they were actually really nice. They featured my Overwatch esports fast break.
That's so awesome. Over.gg.
That's really awesome. So now I'm biased.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they promote my stuff. They're the best ever.
Best ever.
I just wanted to second really quickly, though, Liquipedia. I've been following esports since like Brood War. And when that started up, that's really what started Liquipedia was keeping track of Brood War stuff. Obviously Team Liquid was just strictly StarCraft and then started expanding, but yeah, that's really great for just a quick overall on what's happening, scores, map scores, and who's on what team. They usually have Rosh said, a good history of who's been on what team, and having a good match history there. But for more like kind of overall deeper story type of things, I tend to look at stuff like the Score Esports and also Yahoo Esports. Mm-hmm. They're both really great organizations, and they do have dedicated teams for Overwatch content. So make sure to check that out if you're looking for more like interviews with players or interviews with casters, team managers, stuff like that. It's usually on stuff like that that goes a little bit deeper than just the overview on who won, lost.
Right. And thinking like the kind of way I look at it, really surface level, over.gg. Second level, I like teamliquid.net because you get like we were just talking about when we were just talking about Immortals, and I pulled up their recent tournament results and stuff like that. I was pulling that from Team Liquid because I didn't have a great way to do that in over.gg, but at the same time, yeah, there's not an easy way that I know of to find out what's coming next for your esports on Team Liquid. But I can go back, look in who won what, how much they won, links to things, and they have even links to like different player pages. You can see like their team history is great. Winston's Lab is when you want to do some real research and pull some really great statistics. They'll have hero pick rates and map bans and kill death ratios and how many hero switches. It's very much, if you like baseball, you like Winston's Lab. I used to keep track. I would sit down for every Twins game, almost all 162 games a year, and I would do my own manual stat tracking stuff and have my scorebook and everything. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Winston's Lab is really great if you want to do that. And they have some things very similar to over.gg where they try to put some headlines in there. They try to put some what's coming up next, but I just don't think that the format is as good as over.gg. I don't think that the articles are.
Yeah.
And then the competitive Overwatch subreddit, I mean, it's a, they're not super strict. Like the Hearthstone, competitive Hearthstone subreddit is super strict. You have to have like four different things in every post. If you're linking to the article, you need to summarize the article before you link to it. And like, it's just very, that more is just like, hey, if this is about competitive Overwatch, we want to talk about it. We want to give you a place to talk about it. So it's pretty sweet. What about kind of not really news, but like more general kind of like developer posts and interviews? I'm going to already put my one out there. Overstock.io is so cool. That's how we grab all the blue posts every week. It's OVERSTALK.io. You can filter by blue posts. And I forget exactly how they have it filter. It's a blue post. It's
and tweets as well.
Tweets, right? Which I always turn off, and Reddit posts. That's what it is.
Okay.
So they actually grab Reddit accounts from certain Overwatch team members, and whenever they post on Reddit, that also shows up there.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. Is it like the Heroes subreddit where blue post? If any. Official Blizzard person posts in a thread, it gets like highlighted blue or something like that.
I think that they have that set up as like a flare.
I think it's universal across the Blizzard ones. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. Overstock.io is probably one of my favorites. Anything else that you guys kind of use to keep track of that? Do you go and manually look for all of these things? Do you wake up in the morning and then go to this website, then that website, then that website?
No, they have this thing called Real Simple Syndication.
Oh, it's so good.
Sorry, I'm being such a nerd right now. But yeah, I'm still bitter about Google News going away, but Feedly is in the place for that. So you plug in your RSS feeds for all your favorite websites there. If you say, oh, I want ESPN, I want Score Esports and Yahoo Esports all in one feed, it'll give that to you. As well, for those of you with Apple devices, Apple News, you can set that up to any article that mentions Overwatch gets populated in your news feed in the Apple News app, and that'll get you to not miss anything, and it'll bring you a Kotaku article about 2 days after you heard the news, I'm sure.
Oh,
love you, Kotaku.
I love when Jimmy gets saucy on the show. It's one of my favorite things.
You can't blame him because of the typos in them. Like, have you guys ever noticed how many typos are in them? And there were some pretty bad ones on the last Bastion article that he posted. So they're pretty funny.
Yeah, but they have a huge reach. So I don't know. You can't blame them. Overwatch isn't like their absolute main focus. So
sure.
Apple News. Yes. Set them up.
There's something cool that Apple News has. The whole Apple News thing overall kind of sucks, but there is one really cool thing that you can do in Apple News is that you can actually grab articles from any of the publications based on topic. And so I just type in Overwatch and it will give me Polygon, PC Gamer, Kotaku, any major publication that's talking about Overwatch, whether it's Overwatch Esports or developer update, whatever that looks like, which is really neat because sometimes there's some really just kind of obscure, like Ian Hazzikostas did a interview last week with Glitzy. Is that what it was?
I'd have to look,
but yeah, it was just some like weird. I'm like, I never would have found that. I would never have that set up on my RSS feed unless somebody linked it to me or I ran across it there, but Apple News would actually pick it up. So, for most of us, you can reinstall Apple News through the App Store because I deleted it for the longest time.
I wanted to add something really quick. You mentioned Polygon a little bit, and I want to shout out Philip Collar over at, at Polygon. He puts together some really good long form articles, so definitely add them to your newsfeed, maybe filter by Overwatch or Blizzard or something like that if you don't care about the rest of the news. But occasionally they have some like crazy level of access at Blizzard because they get some really cool articles. They had a huge long form article about the Titan project turning into Overwatch. And who knows, there could be something coming up in the next few weeks. I don't actually know. I'm just
this up. He's predicting
Jimmy
something.
Jimmy Domus, God, you can't do that because you can get in trouble if you're right just because you guess.
This is going to be the one episode that Philip watches and he's going to be like, why did you put me in that position?
Oh my God. Phil's great though. Phil is, he's my live tweeting buddy. Whenever there's a keynote, last time we did it was Hearthstone. We were just retweeting each other back and forth. So that's how we've bonded. Twice. So
I'm also we're like biased. Best friends. Disclaimer, I'm also biased because they put something up I posted at BlizzCon like 2014 up on their site.
Oh really?
We're all biased.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, random just community favorites, places that you love to have. For me, it's always Twitter accounts. My favorite is Overwatch TXT. So funny. It's just it's all the Overwatch memes that you could want. Very good. And an Overwatch GG is another really good one. If you want basically everything that we just said and you want it in a Twitter feed form, minus like the esports stuff, Overwatch GG does a great job of that on Twitter. Rosh, any other ones for you? Just kind of random.
No, Twitter is my main source. Twitter and Reddit are my main sources just because if you follow the right people on Twitter, anytime anything happens, it's going to be on your Twitter feed. So that's just my biggest thing, like GG or Overwatch GG and Overwatch TXT. Like they post the memes, but they will also make memes out of the serious news too. So those are pretty funny as well. But yeah, Twitter and Reddit, between those two, that's just where I get a huge chunk of my information. Unless, of course, it's esports, then it's mostly with Liquipedia.
Right.
Mine are mostly going to be memes, so I apologize in advance. And I apologize to John for this first one because he's not going to be happy about it. But there's a Twitter account called Reaper Names. And it's seriously still the funniest thing.
No, I love Reaper Names.
It's literally just screenshots in Overwatch of
I've had two cliche Reaper names. Featured by them, yeah.
Okay, here's some choice ones. Bang Bang Die, Death Calling, and Shinet Mr. Cuddles, Sasuke 6969. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's really
should
funny.
Should be a Hanzo name.
It should be. The other one I'm going to talk about as a little bit of a disclaimer. It's a little bit not for children, but it's really funny. It's really funny. I'm not going down what you're
thinking,
John.
It's better not be an Overwatch porn site.
It is not. No, it's not that.
It's better not be.
There's this artist, Scott Falco, and he does this YouTube series called Overwatch with the Side Assault. And he goes over every single hero. He's gone over a lot of the heroes. Nice. Hasn't gotten through everyone yet. But it's really funny, first of all. And it's also actually educational because he talks about each skill that they have and how you're supposed to use it. And it's just really funny. I think the most infamous one is the Reaper one. John, I'm sure you'd enjoy that. But yeah.
I haven't checked
that out children.
Yet. I make sure I will.
Pre-screen them so you can determine if it's appropriate for your spawn.
Yeah. There are some dark places on the internet for Overwatch content. That is something that I have learned. Cool. Okay. What else do we have? Do we have any other Overwatch resources that you guys use?
Just this podcast.
That's all you need.
Selfish plug.
I text Jeff Kaplan when I need some answers.
Yeah, just text Jeff. Who's the guy?
Ross Kevin.
Yes,
he'll give us everything. All the
totally info. Will. Haven't heard a peep.
I haven't.
Good old Kevin. I'm sure he's
too busy
adjusting to the California life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did get a heads up email. Tip of the hat to Joseph B, who sent this in. And hey, did you know that the reason why my frame rate is higher than yours is because I have no friends and you have more. That's how it works, right, Rosh?
Yeah, apparently. And it's not a insignificant frame difference. What they have found out, someone on Twitter actually found out, that the more friends that you have on your Battle.net, the less frames that you will have in game. So my stream is not going to be happy about finding this out, though. In their defense, I highly doubt 40 to 50 frames per second is going to have a massive effect on my Mercy gameplay. So they should be safe. I don't think I have to delete them. We should be good. But it is kind of a big deal if you're playing a DPS, if you're playing a tank, and you are noticing that you're getting lower frame rates. The fact that you might have a super populated friends list does affect your frames, which is something I feel like they need to fix. But
that is
definitely a factor.
This is actually been a problem, I believe, since StarCraft 2 when they started new Battle.net. So yeah, it's an existing issue. Let us appear offline, please. Coming soon. Sorry, Blizzard. I love you guys, but that post is 4 years old. 5 years. It's coming up on 5 years old now.
Get over please. It.
It's not coming.
Use one of your Smurf accounts.
Oh my gosh, that was great, Rosh. Oh my goodness.
Oh, this show.
Oh man.
Maybe that's why I do better on my Smurf account. Because of what Jimmy said earlier, because I'm actually getting the 50 frames.
See?
Yeah. That's it. I just needed those extra 50 frames. They help my left clicking so much. That's exactly what it is.
Well, this show has digressed to where I'm afraid if we keep going, we can no longer put ourselves on the list of Overwatch resources to stay up to date for Overwatch. So we're going to call it a day, not a game. I almost called it a game.
Game over.
I said day, and then, you know, that happened. Anyways, let's get out of here first. Let's take a look at our Patreon. What's going on there, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, we always need to give our thanks to our lovely MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H.
It's not pronounced. Thank you all. Coral.
Oh, I messed it up. And I had it written out, too. I'm so sorry, Coral. Coral.
Coral, you said it wrong again.
Oh, you too can give us money at patreon.com/payloadpodcast for me to butcher your name.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
Yeah, go ahead, check it out. See all the rewards, and we're still working towards that $200 merch store. I am so sorry, Cor-L.
One job, Jimmy, over here. Rosh, what do we have going on in iTunes land this week?
Over in iTunes land this week, 5-star reviews help us immensely on a week-to-week basis. So thanks bunches and bunches from the lovely UK, Skittles the Cool, and from the dear old USA, Tink624, for leaving us one this last week. Leaving a 5-star review supports the podcast in many different ways, and you get to hear me try and pronounce your name. So you don't get to hear Jimmy mispronounce it, but I'll get it right. So don't worry. Just leave us a 5-star review. That's all it takes. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Woo! Nice. You've been doing that for a few weeks now, and now you've got it down to like a thing. I like it.
Down to a science.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I'm impressed. Let's it's hard to do every week. It's hard. It takes a lot of work. People take that for granted. Let's do where can people find you throughout the week? Any shout outs, Jimmy?
Yeah, you can always find me at twitch.tv/DJTyrant and same as at Twitter. And I've just been watching as much esports as I can and getting in games when I can. So make sure to check me out.
What is DJ Tyrant? Like, wicka, 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 DJ Tyrant.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That is?
Okay. Like, story time. Do we want story time on my username? We can have that.
We've got a little extra time.
So I was a young lad, 12, 13 years old, and I played a lot of music games, and one of them is called Beatmania 2DX by Konami. Okay. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make my name after DJ that. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I played the Star Wars TCG extensively in middle school. And there is a Star Destroyer in The Empire Strikes Back called Tyrant, and that's how I made my name. No joke.
Oh,
I can send
God.
You the image of the card.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Jimmy, what was the first ever email address that you had?
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay. I do remember this. So this is actually pretty early on in consumer internet, at least. The email was restricted to 8 characters, and I wanted Jedi Master.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So it was JEDIMSTR at jetlink.net.
Jetlink.net.
It was a local ISP. Yeah.
Yep. A Netscape communicator. Rosh, what was your first email address?
I don't remember my first email address. I actually don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was something at like aim.com or something like that.
Was
I really
like
don't remember.
Live to cheer 1998.
I have no idea. I promise, cross my fingers, do not remember it. If I do remember it or find out, I will let you guys know on one of our podcasts as soon as I find out.
I'm really disappointed.
I will remember and find out.
Okay, well, where can people find you throughout the week and shoutouts?
I'm mainly on Twitter. You can find me at f2k_okayitsrosh, but also on Twitch. I typically stream every day unless I get sick and then I have to take 2 days off, which is what happened this week. But I'm typically online every day. If I'm not going online, I'll post on Twitter. But you can find me at twitch.tv/okayitsrosh for some awesome support. Mercy main gameplay.
Awesome. Do you want to know what my first email address
is? Oh, gosh.
Yes, please.
The face. You offered. You didn't have to say anything.
Well, I just think that it's a good thing for the podcast for questions to go two ways. And sometimes I have to remind you guys to, hey, it's polite to ask me questions, too.
Okay, John, what was your first email?
No, it's okay. Let's go ahead and get out of here. Shout outs for this week.
What's a kick tripod?
Kick tripod, no joke. I got Xbox Live for my birthday, and there's a default name generator. The first one was Kick Tripod. I thought it was really funny, and because I was by like sixth grade, and it had the word tripod in it, and you know. I think I thought it was an innuendo at a time, and then I realized that it wouldn't be really at all. So, you know, so there was that. But my first email, my cousin was a really, really preppy, like cheerleader, everything, amazing, really nice. Like, honestly, one of the nicest people you met, but like very like that and her. First one was AEGirl_16 for American Eagle. And I thought that was really cool.
Oh,
so gosh. American Eagle pair for that.
Oh,
so
gosh.
So I wanted a really cool one, too, and I had her make me one. don't even want to say it.
I don't know if I want to hear
okay,
it.
Okay, fine. We won't. Thank you for tuning in for episode 55 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. The show records live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And we're on our Twitter at Payload Podcast. The Payload is primarily supported by you, our fans. Join the Payload family and find out how you can support at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. We love your emails. Send us your questions and comments to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We also love your iTunes reviews. Leave a 5-star one and we'll read your name on the show and giggle and laugh and all that other great stuff. Yeah, and of course, a special thanks to Jake Butno for our music. This has been episode 55 of The Payload. We'll see you next week. Bye. polo_boy_11@hotmail.com.
Oh man.